Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's a Friday, Fly Jams Friday coming up. Straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies and You Big Dummy all coming up. And we'll be talking with Richard Larmer. I haven't talked with Richard in a while, and he'll be joining us after 3 o'clock. But yesterday morning, the Emmy nominations for this year were announced. The Emmy Awards will be handed out Sunday, September 18th on ABC. Jimmy Kimmel is your host. And yesterday morning, they announced the nominations, and we thought we would have Dan Feinberg on to discuss them and talk a little more TV. Dan Feinberg is TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter, joins us every couple of weeks. He is, you can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N, F-I-E-N. And we want to get his reactions, the snubs, the surprises, all that and more with the Emmy nominations for the year. Welcome to the show, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Nick?
Pretty good. So overall, what did you think of the nominations?
Overall, I have to say, and this is tough for me because I tend towards negativity. I don't tend towards positivity as a person unless my chakras are properly aligned. But these are probably the best Emmy nominations relative to my expectations in years. I can't think of the last time I looked at the Emmy nominations and said, wow, that's pretty close.
Yeah.
And yeah, there are definitely some snubs, and you know, we can talk all about that, but taking a step back, they came pretty close to getting a lot of stuff right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, all the conversations that I have with you, you know, it seems like you know, when these were announced, and you were tweeting at the time, I would say that Dan Feinberg would be pretty pleased with these. Before we get to the good stuff and before we actually, you know, go through the categories and talk about the nominees, what were the snubs? Who should have been nominated that didn't?
There are all sorts of things if you look around, if, you know, but there's a lot where you have to dig for it. Like, okay, to me, I would say that The Leftovers should have been nominated for a number of things for a fantastic second season. But I'm a realist. I know how this goes. I know what the ratings were for The Leftovers, so I can't tell you that I'm shocked it wasn't nominated or that Carrie Coon wasn't nominated or that Regina King was nominated for American Crime but not for Leftovers. You know, those to me are disappointing, but I'm not stunned by it. Mm. You know, you look at something like Patrick Wilson for Fargo. I thought he was terrific, and what he did on that miniseries, anthology series, show, whatever you want to call it, is so difficult and so subtle, and I think it was honestly just too subtle for people to pick up because what he did was he played decency. He played the embodiment of decency surrounded by these big performances of people playing evil, of people playing flashy, of people playing desperate, and he played the good guy. He played the John Wayne part. He played the Spencer Tracy part, and that's not easy to do. And it's really easy to overlook. So that, you know, is one where I'm a bit disappointed. No acting nominations for Roots. You know, just a spectacular cast. And it was nominated for a miniseries, and it was nominated for casting for a miniseries. So they were aware of how good the cast was. There was just no room for it. It's not a snub. It's the opposite of a snub. But I'm still going to be ticked off that John Travolta was nominated for People versus OJ, because, you know, so many great people and so many great people who were nominated for that. But, you know, Travolta's kabuki Robert Shapiro, I thought was pretty trashy. Ditto with Cuba Gooding Jr. So they did manage to nominate the two weakest links of the cast, but they also nominated the three strongest links. So, you know, they're like, honestly, anytime that I want to look at something that's bad and amiss, I can go, okay, sure, comma, but. And that to me is pretty good.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go through the categories. Now, I don't have the nominees for some reason, the nominees for Variety show aren't in front of me.
Sure. I can dig those up with no problem at all because that's the place where another snub came, actually. So the nominees for Variety were Jimmy Kimmel Live, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, Late Show with James Corden, Real Time with Bill Maher, The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, and Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Wow. Tom
Crackle. So
wow.
So that is a category where they missed Samantha Bee, which I think is a major snub and a major miss.
Yeah.
And then there's also they missed. I mean, they didn't miss. They simply didn't nominate Colbert, which I was surprised by, given that it was always nominated when it was Letterman's show, and Colbert was always nominated when he had his own show. So that was a surprise. And then Trevor Noah not getting nominated for The Daily Show when The Daily Show won or was nominated in that category every year, basically, since Stewart took over.
Right.
That, to me, was a pretty big – you know, we often say that people aren't being quote-unquote snubbed because snub is kind of an active process of saying we're not nominated, meeting you, as opposed to sort of just neglecting them. But the Trevor Noah one, to me, feels genuinely like a snub. It feels like the voters said to Trevor Noah, you're not Jon Stewart, and we're holding that against you. And to me, that's a little bit unfair.
Yeah, I think that I feel the same way about that. Now, how Saturday Night Live, not nominated, not a good season.
I think it's nominated over. See, there are the two splits in the variety category. There's the one that has this stuff in it, and then there's the variety talk category, and then there's the variety category that would have the Amy Schumer.
Oh, okay. What got nominated in that?
Let me see if I can dig that up in my document, which is somewhat handy. But yeah, I think a lot of the stuff that you would want to see. That you would expect to see was, because Amy Schumer was nominated for lead actress, et cetera. So, okay, variety sketch series was Documentary Now, which is quite nifty, and I'm happy with that. Drunk History, Inside Amy Schumer, the final season of Key and Peele, Portlandia, and Saturday Night Live.
So oh, okay.
There are two different sides of the variety category. They used to be squished together, and
okay.
They split them apart.
When did they split that apart?
It was a couple of years ago, but basically when there started being more shows that actually fit into the sketch series category than simply Saturday Night Live. Once, when it was only Saturday Night Live, they didn't care about nominating Saturday Night Live along with everything else. They said, okay, fine, you're there. But once there started being all of these Comedy Central shows and all of that, they said, okay, we can do this separately. But the writing category is still together. And interestingly, while Samantha Bee wasn't nominated for series, Full Frontal was nominated for writing.
It was.
In the combined category.
Wow.
So it's a little bit baffling, a little bit disappointing. As I keep saying today, the deal was supposed to be that this all-white male boys club was being shattered this year by Larry Wilmore, by Trevor Noah, and by Samantha Bee, and that they were sort of the new faces of late night, and leave it to the Emmy voters to recognize only the old faces of late night.
Yeah, well, that figures. All right, well, let's go through some of the major categories. Lead actor in a drama, Kyle Chandler for Bloodline. Rami Malek for Mr. Robot. Are you watching the second season of that, Dan?
I have it. The premiere on my DVR. I will certainly watch it. I just never liked that show as much as other people did. So since my colleague Tim reviewed it for Hollywood Reporter, I just didn't rush to watch my screener. So I'll just watch it all regular on my TV.
Yeah, I was a little underwhelmed, particularly because of the response that it was getting, you know, by a lot of people. They just really went nuts over it, and I just kind of
there was a lot of positivity, and I think it's okay.
Yeah. All right, Bob Odenkirk for Better Call Saul. Now here's one that you are pleasantly surprised by. Matthew Reese for The Americans.
Yay!
Yeah, Liev Schreiber for Ray Donovan, and the inevitable Kevin Spacey for House of Cards. What do you make of these nominations?
Well, as you say, the first thing I make of it is so happy for the Matthew Reese nomination, and we'll get to a couple more down the road. The Americans, just every year we go through the same thing. Oh, that's the show that got snubbed, and here it is, and it got major nominations for the first time this year, and couldn't be happier. And it's, you know, it's a good category. Whatever I feel about Mr. Robot, I think Rami Malek is great. You know, I think it's a terrific performance, and he's probably what keeps me watching. You know, House of Cards, my feelings are well on the record. Bloodline, I find exhausting and not rewarding enough. Bob Odenkirk is fantastic in Better Call Saul, so, you know, by all means for him. And I haven't watched Ray Donovan since towards the end of the first season, I think, and
but, you know, Liev Schreiber is a talented actor, so I will assume that he continues to be so. And otherwise, I will just take this as being a nomination for all of the 75 sports documentaries I'm sure he narrated this year. So, you know.
All right. Lead actress in a drama, Claire Danes for Homeland, Viola Davis for How to Get Away with Murder, Taraji P. Henson for Empire, Tatiana Maslany, Orphan Black, for God's sake, yes. Kerry Russell for The Americans and Robin Wright for House of Cards. Is this Kerry Russell's first nomination ever?
I believe it is, because when she won her sort of amusing Golden Globe for for Felicity, I don't think she got an Emmy nomination for it, because it was Felicity. As much as I love Felicity, it just wasn't going to get nominated for Emmys, I don't think. So kind of remarkable and a totally pleasant and happy surprise, because my goodness, she's so great on that show. And you know, just the fact that they managed to find a way to not nominate her for the first three seasons is something that probably Emmy voters should be embarrassed by. But if the way they responded was by making good, by all means, I say.
Yeah, and I always can go back to this.
Hi, I'm Kerry Russell, and I love Nick's radio show.
See? I got that. So.
When is that from?
That's from 2008. She came to town to light the Christmas tree here downtown Chicago, and was on one of my colleague's shows in the morning. And my colleague told him my love for Kerry Russell, because I've loved her since Felicity. And so he got her to say that. So
that is a fantastic thing to treasure, and now it has been recited for you by an Emmy nominee.
There you go. All right, lead actor in a limited series, Bryan Cranston, All the Way, Benedict Cumberbatch, Sherlock, Idris Elba, Luther, Cuba Gooding Jr., The People versus O.J. Simpson, Tom Hiddleston, Taylor is going to be so happy for The Night Manager, Courtney B. Vance for People versus O.J. Simpson. Is it just going to, should they just give it to Courtney B. Vance?
You know, one would think so, but Emmy voters and voters of all stripes love Bryan Cranston.
Yes.
He win a Tony for this award, so, you know, you can't count him out. Idris Elba, keep in mind, he won all of those SAG awards this year,
and
he's suddenly a big deal. Hiddleston, if we're lucky, he might bring Tay-Tay to the awards, so, you know, knock on wood. And Benedict Cumberbatch is Benedict Cumberbatch. I mean, the only person I'm going to say isn't going to have any chance of winning is Cooper Gooding Jr., and therefore that means that he'll win. I don't know what to do with that.
I'm not as down on Cuba Gooding as you are, because I actually thought he was good. I'm with you on Travolta. Travolta was ridiculous,
I don't think he was awful. I just did think he was kind of he was distracting in similar ways but different from Travolta, in the sense that he just took me out every single time he was there, because he was surrounded by people who were trying to be the people they were playing, and he was making no effort to be O.J. Simpson.
Okay. All right.
And so that got me.
I really, all these guys I think are good. They're all talented and good, but I can't imagine Courtney B. Vance not deserving it. I mean, he's just phenomenal.
He does. But Cranston is so beloved, and this performance is a great performance.
Yeah.
I won't take anything away from it. It just Cranston has absolutely no need for another Emmy for this. And Courtney B. Vance, while a great actor with a great resume, is never going to get a role this good again, because they don't get all that much better than Johnny Cochran.
Yeah.
So that's why you give a person an award when they're awesome and in the best role they might ever get.
That's true. All right, Dan, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right, Dan Feinberg is with us, and the Emmy nominations were announced yesterday, and they will be handed out on Sunday, September 18th, and we're with Dan Feinberg from The Hollywood Reporter, and we're going through the categories and talking about the nominations. 312-981-7200. You can follow Dan Feinberg at The Fine Print, FIEN. We'll take a break for the news, and we'll come back and jump back into the Emmy nominations right after this. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Coming up after 3 o'clock, Richard Larmer is going to join us from RLM Public Relations. He always has an interesting take on the world, and we'll talk about that. We've got all of our regular features, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. Get your requests in at 312-981-7200. The Emmy nominations were announced yesterday morning, and we're going through all the major categories with Dan Feinberg, who is our buddy, comes on our show every couple of weeks. You can read him at The Hollywood Reporter and follow him at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N, and we welcome Dan back. Welcome back, Dan.
Thank you much.
All right, lead actress in a limited series, Kirsten Dunst for Fargo, Felicity Huffman for American Crime, Audra McDonald for Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill, Sarah Paulson for The People versus O.J. Simpson, Lily Taylor for American Crime, and Kerry Washington for Confirmation. What do you make of these nominees?
What I make is that it would be very hard for Sarah Paulson not to win. She's never won an Emmy before and probably has deserved at least one previously. And she's just amazing as Marcia Clark in The People versus O.J. Simpson. And, you know, it's too bad because this is a great category. To me, Felicity Huffman probably deserved to be in the supporting field this year. I don't think she really had a lead character on American Crime, but that's how these things go. But I thought Lily Taylor was terrific on American Crime. I thought Kerry Washington was well above average in a pretty bad, ultimately, HBO TV movie. And I loved Kirsten Dunst this season on Fargo. Just I thought it was such a beautiful and nuanced performance. And again, a little bit like Patrick Wilson, a lot of little things, maybe not big things, but just so detailed and so funny at times and so heartbreaking at times. Great performance. And Audra McDonald has 75 Tonys and is always awesome. So by all means. But yeah, Paulson has to have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that to me, that's also a lock. I mean, it's got to be. Lead actor in a comedy, Anthony Anderson in Blackish. Aziz Ansari for Master of None, which makes me happy. Will Forte for Last Man on Earth also makes me happy. William H. Macy for the hilarious Shameless. Thomas Middleditch for Silicon Valley. And Jeffrey Tambor for Transparent. None of these other guys have a chance of winning because Tambor is nominated. But what do you make of Silicon Valley getting all the nominations?
I think that it was a very good season for Silicon Valley, and I'm glad to see it get the recognition. And, you know, it's gotten recognition. It's just sort of adding a couple nominations here, and still it could have gotten more recognition, honestly. T.J. Miller and Zach Woods both could have gotten nominations, and I would have been giddy about that. But Thomas Middleditch is very, very funny on that show. It sort of is strange to me that William H. Macy keeps getting in here for what is a supporting performance, a very good performance, but supporting. I don't know. Keep in mind, Jeffrey Tambor was supposed to be the no-brainer at the Golden Globes as well, and then Gael Garcia Bernal won.
Right.
So anything can happen.
Right.
Personally, I would love to see Anthony Anderson win. I would love to see Blackish get some sort of major awards recognition. And I would have guessed, we talked about snubs earlier, I would have guessed that Blackish was a lock for at least one or possibly two writing nominations, particularly for the Talking About the Family About Police Violence episode,
right,
which, you know, only gets more relevant and is a brilliant episode of TV, and somehow the voters missed the boat on that, and that is a large miss, and that's a large miss that's going to look only worse as time passes, that they were not able to recognize that was a truly important episode of television. And so maybe if enough people shame them, they will realize that Blackish is a good enough show and deserves some sort of recognition for being as good as it is. But it's, you know, Aziz Ansari too, and remarkably, I mean, he's nominated for writing, directing, he's one of the producers on the show, and for acting. So he's going full Orson Welles on this one.
Okay. Lead actress in a comedy, again, Julie Louis-Dreyfus for Veep. Ellie Kemper finally got nominated.
She did?
She didn't get nominated last year for Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Tracy Ellis Ross for Blackish. Laurie Metcalf for Getting On. Amy Schumer for Inside Amy Schumer. And Lily Tomlin for Grace and Frankie. And obviously Julia Louis-Dreyfus is the favorite going in.
She certainly is the favorite, and she would be my choice. But Tracee Ellis Ross is, again, quite excellent on Black-ish. I think she probably runs into trouble because her part is maybe more reactive than any voters are going to want. It's an awful lot of her responding to things around her, and she does it, I would say, better than anyone, frankly, but that's a hard thing to quantify. So of these people, Ellie Kemper does have a shot, I would say. Amy Schumer, really, her year was last year, and so, you know, honored to be nominated. And Lori Metcalf, she got three nominations this year, three acting nominations, three different productions. So great year for Lori Metcalf, who is, of course, a national acting treasure. So good on her.
Yeah, and we're very proud of her here in this city.
I have high hopes that she's going to win for guest acting for Horace and Pete because she's remarkable in it. You know, people should check out Horace and Pete, which is the first, I believe, first show from a .net distributor to ever be nominated for any Emmys. And her episode is almost entirely, it's a monologue, and the camera's just on her for 45 minutes as she tells this remarkable, squirmy story. And if Emmy voters actually watch that episode, I can't imagine them not giving her the award. Yeah. But, you know, Emmy voters do weird things. I say that, Ethan, as I'm praising them.
Right. Comedy series, Black-ish, Master of None, Modern Family, Silicon Valley, Transparent, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and Veep. That's a tough, category.
It really is, and I do wonder what the sort of momentum is. I think once we stopped the Modern Family thing, I don't think they're going to go back to giving it a win, so I think we can take that one out of the equation. But otherwise, those are shows that are all at the peak of their game. Several of them are shows that are really doing interesting things with the format. Whether you think, say, for example, Transparent is a comedy or not is an entirely different question.
Right.
But those are good nominees. And the fact that I can list three or four shows I might have wanted in that category doesn't mean that I don't really respect this category. But Deep won last year, and I would probably be surprised if it doesn't win again.
Okay. Drama series, The Americans, Better Call Saul, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, Homeland, House of Cards, Mr. Robot. Game of Thrones won last year.
It did, and for a down season, and this was an up season, so it feels like it's probably going to win again. It added a bunch of top-of-the-line nominations that it hadn't had previously. So Maisie Williams got a nomination. Kit Harington got a nomination, so lots of acting nominations when it used to just be Peter Dinklage or bust. Now they've got a lot of the cast represented, which only helps the show. But on the other hand, there are some good shows in that category, and then there are some really complacent and Emmy kind of boring shows in that category.
Yeah.
And so Emmy voters just can't bring themselves to bump Homeland, can't bring themselves to bump House of Cards. Downton Abbey was his last season, so...
Yeah, you knew that was going to happen, but right? I mean,
exactly.
It's the last season. Yeah. Okay, outstanding limited series, American Crime, Fargo, The Night Manager, The People versus O.J. Simpson, and Roots. I mean, it's got to go to People versus O.J., right? I realize that, you know, how great Fargo is. I did not see Roots, but it's got to go to People versus O.J., right?
It does, and I wish that I could see a clear place in which Fargo was going to be recognized in some way. Because, I prefer Fargo to People versus O.J., and so I would like to see it recognized. But I just think that if you look at the nominations, it's clear that Emmy voters like Fargo. It got a ton of nominations, and it got a ton of nominations that make me very happy. So Bokeem Woodbine's nomination makes me, I am just over the moon about that because it's such a great performance. Jesse Plemons, you know, long overdue for this kind of recognition. Good for him. You know, lots of writing nominations, directing nominations, and yet you look and almost every category, I think, in which I see a Fargo nominee that I would like to see win, I see a People versus O.J. nominee who seems more likely to win. And I can imagine People versus O.J. winning I don't know, 9-10 Emmys and leaving poor Fargo empty-handed, and yeah, that would make me unhappy.
I would imagine the people at FX are thrilled.
I imagine that the people at FX are thrilled, but also wondering if there was a way they could have played things differently, because absolutely thrilled about Fargo and OJ, no question, and thrilled about The Americans. But American Horror Story, which has always been a big Emmy franchise for them, always done, you know, 15 to 20 nominations, handful of acting nods, et cetera, dropped big time this year,
yeah,
because, you know, there just weren't as many slots thanks to the other FX shows. So they couldn't get traction for that, unfortunately, for them. A couple other things, they couldn't get nominations for You're the Worst on the comedy side, which I think some people might have been happy with, etc. So a few down things, but no, I would guess that FX is overjoyed with
yeah,
how things went in
okay,
general.
Outstanding supporting actor in a comedy series. This is the category that has my favorite surprise nominee of any category this year, Dan, and I know you know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
Louis Anderson being nominated for Baskets. I didn't expect it. I was overjoyed when I saw it. I don't think he's going to win it, but just the fact that he got nominated is pretty great. Andre Brower for Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Keegan-Michael Key for Key and Peele, because, you know, he's so much better than Peele. Ty Burrell from Modern Family. Titus Burgess from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. And Tony Hale and Matt Walsh, both from Veep. What do you make of this category?
Like you, I don't get how exactly Keegan-Michael Key came to be the representative nominee, but I'm, you know, I like Keegan-Michael
Key
a lot.
I do too. I love
him. Good for him. As to the question of who exactly he's supporting, that's a different question.
Right.
And the question of how the Emmy categories work such that Amy Schumer, for playing the lead in Sketches, gets to be lead actress,
right.
But yeah, so that's true. And but Keegan-Michael Key, interestingly, is a three-time nominee here, because he also has a writing nomination and a voiceover nomination, and he'll end up being a four-time nominee because he's also a producer on the show. So lots of people with a lot of nominations. As for what I make of the category, boy, I just, You once again, you want to believe that if people sit down and actually watch things, that Louis Anderson's greatness on that show maybe somehow finds a way to gain traction. But, or you can just go, wow, it really is an honor that he was nominated, because I wouldn't have guessed he was going to be, and you wouldn't have guessed he was going to be. So I think probably it's one of the Veep guys, and maybe this year we go with Matt Walsh because Tony Hale has two.
Right. Yeah. And then, and again, not a bad thing, because both those guys are great. That show is great. You know,
and there are five other guys who I could have given nominations to. Kevin Dunn, give him a nomination. Yeah. Gary Cole, give him a nomination.
Yeah.
Simon, give him a nomination. But that doesn't leave much room for Ty Burrell to get yet another nomination.
Right. Exactly. All right. We got to take a break. When we come back, we've got a few more categories to talk about. This is Dan Feinberg, our TV critic from The Hollywood Reporter. Check him out at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. He joins us every couple of weeks. We're special appearance. Thank you for joining us for this, Dan. I appreciate it.
Of course.
And hang on a second, and we'll talk a little bit more right after we take this break. The Emmy nominations are out, and we'll talk more about it right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Hi. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up, plus a visit from our good friend Richard Larmer in the next hour. Dan Feinberg is with us. The Emmy nominations came out yesterday. We have a link on our Facebook page where you can check them out at facebook.com/NickDShow. And Dan Feinberg agreed to join us to talk about him. All right, Dan, let's get back to some of the nominees.
Bring them on.
Outstanding supporting actor in a drama series, Jonathan Banks for Better Call Saul. Peter Dinklage, Game of Thrones, Ben Mendelsohn for Bloodline, Kit Harington for Game of Thrones, Michael Kelly for House of Cards, and the inevitable John Voight for Ray Donovan.
I would say a lot of the people in this category could go under the heading of the inevitable.
Right.
And this is one of those categories where, other than Kit Harington, and I guess Michael Kelly, who probably should have been nominated last year, that there's a sort of I don't know, sameness to a lot of it, and that makes it harder for me to predict. And it's, once again, I one of these days, Jonathan Banks is going to win an Emmy, and I will be happy when that day comes. And it might as well be this year. He's got the tape for it. Mm-hmm. So, but I am probably less enthusiastic about this category than I'd like to be, because I do think here we're getting into a place where probably there are more exciting performances who could have been remembered, and instead the inevitable John Boyce.
Yep. All right, let's see. A supporting actor in a limited series or movie, Jesse Plemons for Fargo, Bokeem Woodbine for Fargo, Hugh Laurie for The Night Manager, and then Sterling K. Brown. I'm so happy that he got nominated. David Schwimmer and John Travolta for The People versus O.J. Simpson. Sterling K. Brown was a surprise for you, Dan?
It was not so much that he was a surprise as I was prepared for him not to be, because I was just prepared for people with bigger names. All it was. I figured that there were enough people with bigger names that Emmy voters were going to be distracted. And interestingly, Emmy voters were able to be distracted by Travolta and Schwimmer. I like Schwimmer more than a lot of people do in this, so I'm not worried about that. But they were able to be distracted by those names and also still to nominate Sterling K. Brown, who is so good, to nominate Bokeem Woodbine, who is so good in Fargo. Jesse Plemons, very good. Yeah, this is a good category. It can't be Travolta who wins. So.
I really think he's going to win it. I don't want him to, Dan, but I really think it would be like, some sort of like career thing, to give it to him. I know.
But I mean, if you're going to give someone a career thing, might as well give Hugh Laurie a career thing. I mean, the guy never won for House.
That's true.
He really was great in The Night Manager. If you have to just go career achievement, I would rather go Hugh Laurie here than Travolta. If it comes down to who I actually like, it would be either Bokeem Woodbine or Sterling K. Brown, and I don't know that I want to choose between them.
Got it.
I love them both.
Okay. Outstanding supporting actress in a comedy series, Niecy Nash for Getting On, Allison Janney for Mom, Kate McKinnon for Saturday Night Live, Judith Light, Transparent, Gabby Hoffman, Transparent, and Anna Chomsky for Veep. Who's going to get this one?
Well, it's always Allison Janney until it isn't. But I'm wondering if we finally reached the year of Kate McKinnon.
Yeah.
And if it's finally just time to say, all hail Kate McKinnon, here, have an award for being you, and for putting up with all the anti-Ghostbusters people and all of that. Here, have an award. You are awesome.
Yeah. So, and, she's constantly a highlight every week, even when the show stinks. There's at least one or two moments where Kate McKinnon shines. I think just for me, she should get an Emmy just for the alien abduction bit that they did, which is one of the funniest things. I mean, Gosling couldn't keep a straight – nobody could keep a straight face.
I was going to say, they've done it now a couple times, and each time they do it, whoever she sits down next to is incapable of keeping a straight face. So,
absolutely true.
There are great performances here, and Gabby Hoffman is great, and Allison Janney really continues to be marvelous on Mom, but I am thinking – my gut says – Kate McKinnon.
Okay. Outstanding supporting actress in a drama series, Moira Tierney for The Affair, Maggie Smith, Downton Abbey, Lena Headey for Game of Thrones, Amelia Clarke for Game of Thrones, Macy Williams for Game of Thrones, and Constance Zimmer for Unreal.
And Constance Zimmer is really good in Unreal, and that was one of several big kind of happy surprises this morning, is that Unreal was able to break through in a couple categories, this and writing, for a first season that was really very good. The second season has been a little bit bumpier, but these nominations are for the first season, and I don't think anyone who actually watches the show would have any problems with Constance Zimmer being nominated, and I'm just glad that voters were able to see her. As to who's going to win... Oh gosh, is it going to be a triumphant send off for Maggie Smith?
Maybe. All right, last one here. Outstanding supporting actress in a limited series or movie: Melissa Leo, All the Way; Regina King, American Crime; Sarah Paulson for American Horror Story; Kathy Bates for American Horror Story, Gene Smart for Fargo, and Olivia Colman for The Night Managers. Maybe Sarah Paulson could win twice?
I'm going to guess not. And looking at this category, this is one where I think there is at least an off chance that this is where Fargo gets its one piddly little win, because Emmy voters do love Gene Smart. Gene Smart was great in Fargo. It wouldn't really be a very representative way to honor Fargo, but it would be a way. And whenever I say something like that, that's the point at which Kathy Bates steps in and just wins. It's good for her.
Okay. All right. And if people want to read more, there is a critics debate that you guys put up, you and Tim Goodman. At The Hollywood Reporter, and there's, from your critic's notebook, you talk about a lot of the stuff that we just covered. And the full nominations are out there. And again, lots more categories that we didn't get to. And it's September 18th is the show with Jimmy Kimmel hosting. Dan, we'll talk to you next week for your regular visit. And I know we don't have time, but did you watch Big Brother last night?
I have not gotten to last night's Big Brother. I'm one episode behind.
Okay. Well, some stuff happens. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe I'll go watch now.
That's all I'm saying. Okay, we'll talk to you next week. Dan, I really appreciate it, okay, man?
Always a pleasure, Nick.
All right, buddy, take care. There you go. Dan Feinberg from The Hollywood Reporter. The Fine Print, you can follow him, F-I-E-N, The Fine Print. Emmy nominations are out, and we'll talk about them for the next couple of months before the actual ceremony happens. All right, we'll take a break here on WGN. We got the news coming up, and then Richard Larmer will join us on Friday morning.